The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, back to Rambam, Bikius, and Hilchos Matanos Anim, chapter 10, Halacha Gimel is what we're up to. So, I mean, we did other stuff, but I want to move on. Okay. Kol Hama'alim Inav Min HaTzedakah Harizen Nikra Bli'al. Okay, so anyone who hides his eyes from tzedakah is called Bli'al. You know what Bli'al means? This is a Mishle word.
Without?
Yeah.
Ol?
Yeah, without ol, right? With it, yeah, yokeless. Yeah, a yokeless person, okay? So I think lawless is the best translation we have, but it is not just lawless like as opposed to like a law-abiding citizen. It's someone who like casts off a yoke or is characterized by the casting off of a yoke.
Vagabond
is a good word. Vagabond is a good word. If that was one that people actually like used more frequently, then I'd be comfortable like translating that. But I think like lawless is probably, you know, whatever. You know, but we're going to have to try to define this because of this next move he makes. Kamosha Nikra Ovid Avodah Zarah Bli'al. Just like an Ovid Avodah Zarah is called Bli'al. But Avodah Zarah Hu Omer Yatsu Anashim B'nei Bli'al. And that I believe is by the Ir Hanidacha. So let's just check that in context. Dvarim. Went slow today. Was it 13:14? 13:14. Let's get our psuchos and stumos here. Kisishma ba'achas aracha asher Hashem elokecha nosin lecha l'sheves sham lemor yatsu anashim b'nei Bli'al mikirbecha v'yadichu es yoshva iram lemor. You know what? Anyone having deja vu? I had deja vu and I realized it's not just deja vu. Do you remember where we last talked about the Yehani Dagas and Rama Bikius? This is strange. We talked about it with the Rama's last halacha, which says, I think, Kol HaMarachim Marachmin Alav. Yeah. Shenemar V'nasin L'cha Rachmin B'richamecha V'hirbecha. Okay, it's really that first part. Anyone who has mercy, God will have mercy on him. As it says, he will give you mercy and have mercy on you and increase you. And that's also by the Yehani Dachas. All right, so there's some clearly, I don't know why the Yehani Dachas thing is being connected to tzedakah in this way, but I feel like this is now not, remember how Oren wanted to say that, like, I mean, he didn't want to say like a shot, but he wanted to like dismiss the question and say like, you know, I think, you know, the fact that we have now two instances where we're associating tzedakah with Irani Dachas is interesting. So that's something maybe we could look into. But anyway, do we even read the pasuk? Yatum Nashim B'nei Bli'al. Let's just see what Mr. B2B says. Worthlessness. That's a weird way. Bli is not, and with ya'al, oh, that's interesting. Bli, ya'al, I guess that would be the most literal compound word, worth, use, or profit, like toelas. Worth is good for nothing, base fellows. I mean, that makes a lot more sense in, or not a lot more sense, it makes sense in the context of like base degenerate men. Yeah, what are the dictionaries say? Kadmonim, let's look at Radak. Oh, no, that's Bal, Bli'al, Kvar Kasavnu Oso Beshorsh Bal Kihi Mila Murkevis. Oh, Bli'al, here we go. He says, Bli'al is, ooh, a lot of them. Where does it start? Ubechibur Hamila Hazos in Ya'al, Kana Harasha V'amar Ish Bli'al, V'hu Ben Bli'al Midabri Elav, Klomer Ish Rasha, Al Ish HaBli'al Hazeh. I just want to see if he defines it. Russia. Pirush Huli Ra Vikasha Davukbo. Oh, that's for a Davar Bali'al Yatsukbo. Asher Shahav Lo Yakuz Pirush Altitain. Okay. Is all right, fine. So he's giving a lot of instances in defining them. Fika Kana Russia Bo Rutana Lamarsha Russia Bal Ya'ale Ubal Yatsliach. Oh, so he's saying Bli'al is he will not ascend because he's a Rasha. All right, so that's different than I was saying. But there are definitely Mepharshim who say that Bli'al is without yoke. I know that from Mishle. I just haven't found him here. Okay, let's see what he says about this person. So it says about Avodah Zarah Yatzu Anashim Bnei Belial Uvamalim Einav Min HaTzedakah Hu Omer Ki Shamar Lecha Pen Yihyeh Davar Im Levavcha Belial. You should be careful for yourself, lest there be with your heart, lest there be a davar with your heart, belial. Let's look at the context there. 15:9. I don't know what that is. Hopefully that'll be better for those people. So this is about the people who won't loan in the year of the Shemitah. So it uses the term there. And then it says, V'nikra Rasha, Shnemar V'rachmei Rashaim Achzari, the mercies of the wicked are cruel. V'nikra Chote, Shnemar V'kara Alecha El Hashem V'haya V'cha Chet. And he's called a Chote, as it says, he will call to Hashem and, V'kara Alecha El Hashem. V'kara Alecha El Hashem. Yeah, he will, the Ani will call to Hashem and it will be a sin for you. Yeah. Okay, so the question is, Malim Einav Min HaTzedakah, where have we encountered that concept before?
There's the pasuk.
Yeah. The pasuk we just read, right, which is the Losase. Right, yeah. Yeah, so let's just review the Losase. And I'm not sure why the Rambam separates the two like that. I understand that in Perek Yud, he's going over, like, you know, additional ideas, but so the original one was mitzvah to say litain tzedakah l'ani yisrael kfi masha roi l'ani im ha'se yad hanos imosegas shenemar pesof tiftach es yad halo v'nemar v'hechazakta bo v'gir v'sosha v'chai imach v'nemar v'chei achich imach v'chol ha'roi ani mevakish v'helim einav mimenu v'lo nasan lo tzedakah avar b'lo sa'asei shenemar lo sa'amit es l'va v'cha v'lo sikpot es yad ha'michlif ha'evyon. Right, so that's the actual lo sa'asei. So this is talking about the same thing. And we also saw in the Sefer HaMitzvos, the way he characterized that was, let's just review that again also. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, yeah. Hashar shuusharna milihima, this is Reish Lamed Beis. Hashar shuusharna milihima nea milaseis tzedaka v'si'ua la'aniyam me'achinu achar yediasenu dochak matzavam v'yish lanu yicholes latamcham. So those are the two conditions, that we know of their dire state, and we are able to support them, and yet we refrain from giving them tzedakah. And that's what we noted last time. He puts in terms of midos, that we should, it's warning against conducting ourselves. I don't think tzidkanus here means righteousness. Tzikanus, yeah, that's why. Okay, just not seeing it correctly. Tzikanus is a stinginess and penny pinching, right? Yeah. Okay, so the question is, what do we get out of this additional expansion on that, right? We know it's a lo sase going into it, but now you're called Belial, you're compared to an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and you're called a Rasha and you're called a Chote. I mean, on the surface, those seem to be in a funny order, right? So Belial itself, I wouldn't say I know how bad it is, but you compare it to Avodah Zarah, that seems like really bad. Russia and Chote is definitely not as bad as Russia, you know? So what do we get out of this this paragraph here? Let's just see what the Makbili says. Malim Einav, so that's Hamis Alim, someone who conceals himself. Belial is Rasha. Hachai Beliulo Shel Hashem Alav. So that's from Rashi. So that's one of the supports for says it's without a yoke. Someone who lives without the yoke of Hashem upon him. O Lashem Klala, or it means Klala. Shelo Ya'ale, that's like the Radak quoted, that he will not ascend. V'shelo Yigael V'shelo Yichya. Okay, so it's either referring to his character or the his destiny. Shnemar v'rachmei rashaim achzari, rachmei harashahim achzarius, v'mnei she'en lo rachmeim. So the mercies of the wicked are cruel because he has no mercy. And that's a funny pasuk. Oh, he didn't, wait, did he quote that pasuk? Oh, yeah, he did, in Mishlei. That's funny, right? Because, I mean, do you have a plain shot of what Rachmei Rashaim Achzari means?
My thought was that, like, if they're doing something nice, it's not because it's a kind thing to do, it's because it's going to benefit them.
Okay, good. So that's one interpretation of it. The other interpretation, I think, is so that's saying basically that they have that, that their action is good, but their motive is bad,
yeah.
Right? The other interpretation
is going to come back to bite you at some point also.
Right, that's also true. Yeah, right. The other possibility is to say, like, for somebody, I don't know if they actually quote this pasuk by Shaul when he spares Agag, but I feel like I've heard that applied there, where, like, he has mercy, but as a consequence of his mercy, then cruelty will come about. You know, like, let's say, like, you let a guy, a terrorist go, you know, from prison. So you might do it out of a genuine feeling of mercy, but because you're not acting in line with righteousness, so then that act of mercy is going to lead to cruelty.
Oh, you mean or Shalim, being Moroccan to a Russia?
Oh, that fits in with the Shal thing. That's not what I meant, but that fits in with the Shal thing. Yeah. But my question, the reason why I'm bringing all this up is either way, it doesn't quite fit in to the case here, right? Like, the guy who's hiding his eyes from the poor to not give tzedakah to him, that's not your case.
Nor is it what you said either.
Right. You're not doing a...
There's no
Rachmim. There's no Rachmim, right. So why is it saying Rachmim Rosh Hashanah Machzor? Sorry, I can turn this back. So the peoples can hear you.
Wait. Doesn't
that happen with Klein? Well, Klein's shot is you are doing an act that looks merciful, but you're doing it for sinister motives. Mm-hmm. But the guy who's hiding his eyes from the Ani is not really doing an act that looks merciful.
Maybe not only the dumb...
I was going to say something. Maybe you can flip that and say that the fact that he's not doing it means that he only does tzedakah when it's his benefit.
That's interesting. Okay, that's interesting. All right, so that's the closest we've come to it so far, because I still have a slight problem, because there are many reasons why you might hide your eyes from tzedakah. You know, like you read this Rambam and it sounds like he's saying anytime you hide your eyes from tzedakah, then all these things apply, right?
I mean, it definitely shows that you give tzedakah with a caveat, though. That tzedakah
right.
is not something that you view as...
That's true. Okay, I hear that. So let's work that. That seems to pair nicely with the without a yoke. Yeah. The last one actually is almost the easiest, I think. Yeah. So, are you saying that because why would we characterize it as less severe? Like, it's only like a chet, or...
I don't see how the pasuk has anything to do with what we're talking about.
Okay, so that's where I'm saying it's the easiest, because I think the pasuk, let's just read the pasuk inside one more time. 15:9. Hishamar lecha pen yehi davar im levavcha b'li'al le'mor karva shnas hasheva shnas hamishmita v'ra'a einecha b'achicha ha'evyon. That means your eye is stingy, ra'a einecha, right? V'lo yisitein lo v'kara alech al Hashem v'haya b'chachet. So I think the reason why this is easier is because I think there it's referring to the fact that, like, it's an interpersonal hate that you're singing against him, as evidenced by the fact that he's going to be calling out to Hashem because of the harm that comes to him, you know? Whereas I feel like these other two, this Rachmei Rashaim Achzari is more of a statement about your midos, and the B'nei Belial is more of a statement about it being Adam la Makom, you know? Like, you can even say, I was talking with Ken about this recently. You ever hear the phrase, okay, we know Bein Adam L'Chavero and Bein Adam L'Makon. You ever heard someone classify Bein Adam L'Atmo?
Yes, Rabbi Spader.
Yeah. So do you know where that classification comes from? Because it does fit in very nicely with this, right? That Belial is Bein Adam L'Makon, Rachmei Rashaim Achzari is Bein Adam L'Atmo, and Chote is Bein Adam L'Chavero. The reason I was talking with Ken, the reason why I don't like that phrase, Bein Adam L'Atmo, is because I view Bein Adam La'atmo as a feature of all mitzvos. So if I'm forcing you to classify this as either Bein Adam La'atmo or these other two, it kind of, like, limits the conception. Like, L'tov Lach is for all mitzvos. You know, And I suppose you could say that Bein Adam La'atzmo is going to be a category when it doesn't overtly affect anyone else and it's not overtly about Hashem, but still it like makes me uneasy, you know, like
in that vein though, you could say that like in a sense, every Bein Adam La'chaver is also Bein Adam La'mako, right?
Yes, right. And the right. Yes, the question, I think the question has to be, what are you doing with these categories? You know, like if you, let's say, for example, if you are, I'd be open to an idea of of characterizing a mitzvah that way structurally. You know, like let's say, for example, for argument's sake, just give me one second. Like, like, okay, lo sachmod and lo tisaveh, you could say are bein adam la'atmo. I know like Chazal say that if you give into lo sachmod, you're eventually going to like steal or whatever, you know, but I wouldn't call that bein adam la'makom. And it's not really bein adam la'chavero in the sense that it's directly regulating how you interact with other people. I mean, it is because you have to be taken in order to be over, whatever, you know, like I can see structure, you know, or let's say like, here would be a better one, a shluch.
What was the
Sakana? What about anything else to do with Sakana? Yeah, Sakana is a good one, right? Sakana is a good one. Shaloha, I was for a Ken or Khan.
Ken.
I think remember we have Khan Sipor, so it's Ken. Shaloha Ken, right? I think because I think Khan Sipor is the wow, well, whatever. You know, that's one that is not being on Mojavero. Okay. Well, go away. Yeah. That's not being on Lachavero and it's not overtly being on Lamakom, but it's about your midos, you know. Okay, anyway, back to this. So what's the comparison to Avodah Zarah, right? Belial.
Really bad.
Kamashalan is really bad. Kamashalan, you should do mitzvos, yeah.
I just assume the Iker Paltrow Zarah is that's Belial.
I would agree with that. So I guess the question, just to press the question a little bit more, why are not all averos Blial?
Make it Blial. Also, does say commotion Nikra.
Right.
So he seems like he's trying.
Right. In other words, like the Torah stigmatizes the Blial component of the Malim Einam in Tzedakah, just like it does the Avodah Zarah guy. Yeah. Yosef.
I was going to say it would be related to time, but obviously there's an intrinsic reason why you'd want to not give stock in because you like money. So never mind.
No, yeah. Okay. Well, maybe two half bad thoughts make a good thought.
And you know, that in Tanaka, because you know, having impact on evaluation of money or whatever, and you know, putting value in something that ultimately is worthless.
Okay. No, I definitely hear that. Yeah. I mean, this is it's a little bit difficult what we're asking, by the way, of like, of all the qualities of Avodah Zarah and all the qualities of tzedakah, like where's the lineup? So I'm fine like entertaining ideas like this. Yeah.
Have another one.
Okay, sure. Pile them on.
So I was gonna take the negative aspect of Avodah Zarah of like attributing attributing power to something other than God.
Yeah.
In the same way, like when somebody wants to withhold their hand from the money, it means that they have control over money. It means that they're actually controlling like what they get and what they give.
Uh-huh.
Where we say that really that controls God's and that you don't really have the rights over, you know,
right,
how you get to give.
Right.
So it seems like it's like a self-avodah zarah kind of thing.
Yeah. I was thinking along similar lines of the this concept of tain lo mishalo, like give to God from what is his, like the money that we have is not actually ours. It's, you know, like there's a lot of chazals on that. But so the guy who's like retaining the money, I gave a Pirkei Avos here on this, and they said that, I'm just trying to think if I could find it really quickly. Where was it though? Avos 3:7. Slow bing. Not even letting in. Okay. Is this it? If it's not this one, then I'll just say it, Paul. Nope, it's not this one. All right. they give, because I'll give the mashal of if a person comes, so you should treat, like if a guy comes up to you and gives you like $10,000 and then says, give $1,000 each to 9 people and then keep the extra 1,000 for yourself, you'd be very, very happy, you know? And that's really how you should view the money that's given to you by God. Of like, it's not like God, it's not like you have $10,000 then God's saying you have to take away from yours and give it to someone else. It's all the money is being given to you from God, and you know, you allocate it. And so the guy who is not allocating his money in accordance with the mitzvahs of Hashem is trying to take like an intrinsic claim. It's kind of like Cain holding on to his best produce and not giving it. Is that reflects a distorted premise, like I am the one who really owns this stuff and like God is just demanding it from me. Yeah.
Why is that giving anything else? Like, let's say you have to destroy something out, like a Basar B'chav, you want to end up in it.
Right. Yeah, I think this is the problem that a lot of what we're saying is going to come to, which is how we differentiate this from something else. Yeah. I mean, the one step I am taking, and the time I'm taking also, is that, like the qualities that. Wait, let's just review. Yosef, what did you say again? What was your half idea of the? What was your idea?
I was trying to remember what I remember.
Okay. Chaim, what was your idea? The attaching value, right? Attaching value to something right, that's ultimately worthless, right? Yeah. Yeah. The right. See, so the reason why I am any Avera is gonna partake of that. Right, of like attributing value to something that is really, isn't it? I mean, if you eat, you know, a cheeseburger, right, then you're, you know, and knowing that it's usher, then you're like ascribing like value to physical pleasure over, you know, kedusha, right? Or if you, right, I mean,
you also arguing the same thing though about the aspect that I was talking about of saying that you're really in control.
Yeah,
you could say about
it. Right. So what I'm trying to salvage is allocation of resources is something that is unique to tzedakah. You're telling me I'm too narrow? Yeah.
So here's the thing: that people are intrinsically compassionate and therefore want to give tzedakah.
Okay.
So therefore, in order to choose not to, then. Requires like an active choice of rebellion.
That's very interesting. Okay, so that's interesting. I mean, I know, I understand that it's not, were you reacting to the premise? If people are interested? Yeah, right. Yeah, no. But just going with that for a second, we'll question the premise in a second. But if that's true, that there is an intrinsic compassion, then you'd have to suppress that in order to be Mali Meina Minas Tzedakah. I don't know what that has to do with the Avodah Zarah yet, but that fits in really well with the Russia thing of the Rachmei Roshayim Achzari. That's putting it in binary terms. Either you're Rachim, or you're an Achzari. Yeah.
So the Vozar should be the Vozar. It's not like an intrinsic thing you want to do a Vozar. It's just, so you have to actively choose that direction.
That's interesting.
This would also probably include a Isser, which is also painful, like the Isser of afflicting, of mutilating yourself. Like, I guess in that, by this definition, it would also be
right. But it wouldn't be all of Eros, because anything that is like eating non-kosher fruit or whatever, that you do have a natural draw for. Yeah.
I would
kind of
that would kind of apply to all of
Yeah.
Well.
What were you
going to
say
there? I was going to say, this might also apply to all
of Yeah, whatever.
But I want to say maybe the opposite of what Yosef said, is that you have a drive to keep your money, and a person has a drive to worship over his honor.
Right.
And that those are two.
Or at least to not submit themselves to an authority of Hashem, which is expressed through Avodah Zarah, right?
The self, or something else.
Yeah.
And that those are two very strong base drives, and that inverting that
is
good.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's hard to have a base drive. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It falls in that
same
with Chaim's first thing, I think it was what he just said, is that it seems to partake of a lot of mitzvahs.
Like saying that you don't want to destroy Basar B'chalav.
No, it's more of like attributing. What I was saying is that it's not Love Dafka attributing power to a thing. It's more of like attributing authority to something else other than God.
Which would be,
you
doing that?
Oh, because I'm saying that clearly God is wrong. The cheeseburger is what's better for me right now.
I don't know if I'm going to do it. More than you. I don't know.
Yeah. Look. All right. So I think we've got the good brainstorm going. So let's let it percolate and then come back to it tomorrow and see if we get anywhere with this. All right. Very good. Stop here. Question for anyone who's here.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/ChaseQuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.